Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the December NJEDA Board Meeting. At this time, all phone participants are in a listen-only mode. Please be advised today's meeting is being recorded. When the chairman opens the public comment portion of the meeting, members of the public attending by phone will be advised to press 1, then 0 on your telephone keypad to be placed in the queue to speak and provide comment. You will be asked to provide your name and any organization with which you are affiliated. You may withdraw your question at any time by repeating the 1-0 command. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the number. And if you should require assistance during the call, please press star, then 0. I would now like to turn the conference over to Chairman Kevin Quinn. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Operator. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Tim, if you could read the open public meeting notice.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everyone. In accordance with the Open Public Meeting Act, notice of this meeting has been sent to the Star-Ledger and the Times of Trenton at least 48 hours prior to this meeting, and a meeting notice has been posted on the Secretary of State's bulletin board at the Department of State. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Thank you, Tim. Danielle, if we could do the roll call, please.
Chairman Kevin Quinn.
Present.
I believe Charles Carlo is unavailable. Phil Elagia.
Present.
Virginia Bauer.
Here.
Fred Dumont.
Here.
Stacey Glover.
Present.
Marcia Marley.
Present.
Robert Shimko.
Here.
Rosemarie Hicks.
Present.
Maureen Giblin from the Governor's Office of the Governor's Authorities Unit.
Here.
State Treasurer Elizabeth Moyo.
Here.
Commissioner Marlene Creedy from the Department of Banking and Insurance.
Present.
Commissioner Robert Acero Angelo from the Department of Labor and Workforce Development.
Here and present.
Elizabeth Dragon for Commissioner Sean LaTourette from the Department of Protection.
Here.
Thank you. And thank you, Mr. Chairman. We do have a quorum, and I want to acknowledge Elizabeth Kern is here from the Office of the Attorney General.
Great. Thank you, Danielle. So we have one set of meeting minutes for approval today. These are the minutes for them from the November 16th EDA board meeting. And just to remind folks, given that we have some members present in the room and others by phone, please state your name when making a motion or a second. Can I get a motion to approve the November 16th board meeting minutes?
Chair Fred Dumont, I'll make.
Oh, no, go ahead, Fred.
Thank you.
Marlene Caridi will second.
Excellent. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, I have some remarks this morning. And first, and what you'll hear from my opening remarks is that we have a number of new programs. It's a very busy time here at the EDA. We're going to vote on over 20 things today. So let's not be shy about moving things along so we get out here, we wrap up our work at a reasonable hour. So programs up for consideration today include a cannabis grant program, which provides up to $250,000 to early-stage cannabis businesses. The program will focus on qualifying social equity applicants, such as those who have previous cannabis convictions or live in an economically disadvantaged area. The Small Business E-Commerce Support Fund program, which will connect eligible small businesses in the restaurant, retail, and personal care industries to consultants offering e-commerce and digital marketing services. These firms will assist with the development of websites, e-commerce platforms, and digital marketing plans, enabling the businesses to expand their reach. We have two new real estate programs designed to make impactful development projects more viable. This includes the Construction Inflation Fund pilot program, offered in partnership with the New Jersey Department of Community Affairs to bolster real estate development projects that have experienced increased construction costs and project funding gaps resulting from the COVID-19 pandemic. And the Film and Digital Media Studio Infrastructure pilot program will provide grant funding to local government entities for infrastructure improvements and site work in support of the development of a film or digital media studio production facility. In addition to these new initiatives, we'll revisit a program launched earlier this year to mark a critical milestone. Today, you'll be asked to approve 8 corporations to purchase $50 million in tax credits to fuel the New Jersey Innovation Evergreen Fund. The Innovation Evergreen Fund is a groundbreaking new tool designed to increase access to strategic resources and venture capital in New Jersey. The authority recently announced that it is accepting applications from investment firms to be certified as qualified venture firms under the program. This designation is an important step that will enable these firms to apply for matching investments into qualifying high-growth New Jersey businesses and access additional strategic resources available in partnership with the Innovation Evergreen Fund tax credit purchasers. It's been a whirlwind year at the EDA, and I want to thank the board and our EDA staff for persevering during these very challenging times. It's a pleasure to work side-by-side with all of you. I enjoyed myself at the holiday party. It was a dry holiday party, and I still had a good time, which is saying something. So I wish everybody a joyous and peaceful holiday season, and I look forward to working with you all in the new year. Lastly, I want to comment that Rosemary Hicks is resigning from our board. She's been on our board for the last 3 years. I met Rosemary in my first days at the EDA about 3.5 years ago. I called in my own mind, my autobiography of EDA involvement was baptism by Camden. If you can believe it, there was about 130 people in this room, 3 TV cameras, and about a half dozen reporters at my first EDA board meeting and my first experience in public life, which was terrifying. It was hard to speak. I just didn't know if I'd have to say the right thing. Now I say the wrong thing all the time, but people have gotten to know me, so it's okay, I guess. Well, I met Rosemary in this lobby right out here after one of our meetings, and, you know, I was so impressed with how she approached an issue when most of that meeting was people who were very upset and angry with the EDA, and she had a very constructive approach. It was very thoughtful, and it was governed by, how the markets work. And so when Tim and I went up to the governor's office to talk about who we should put on the EDA board at that time, I said, listen, I know you don't know this woman, but I think she'd be a great addition to our board. And that's proven to be true. I think nobody has had amongst our board, and this is with all due respect to all of our board members, Rosemary has had a particular impact on the design of our programs for micro and small businesses and those targeted at disadvantaged communities. She made our programming better. She made us more thoughtful. Those programs will have a bigger and better impact because of her presence on the board. She will be missed. Thank you, Rosemary.
Thank you.
Rosemary, if you'd like to say anything, don't feel like you have to, but you're welcome to.
Just real quick, I just want to say that it's been a wonderful ride. I've really enjoyed my time here. I've grown since I've been here. I have a better understanding now of the other side of the business and how things work, and sometimes things work a little slower than folks that are not in the, government would like, but it's all for the better. And I appreciate the fact that, Tim, the chairman, as well as, Ty's team and the entire NJEDA group, they struggled through all of my pushbacks and saying, why not? Well, let's try a better way or a different way, not necessarily better. But I think everybody always knew that my heart was in the right place as it relates to black and brown folks in underserved impact zones, whatever term we want to use to reflect the systemic history about how folks are, I don't want to say marginalized, but forgotten. Mm-hmm. And so I think that hopefully I've been helpful in shining a light on those unforgotten people. And I look forward to still coming to more meetings and providing some much needed input. So thank you, and
thank you.
I really appreciate being here, so thank you.
Tim, from the CEO's report.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll begin by just picking up where the chairman was focusing as well. I want to express my deep appreciation and the appreciation of everybody on our team to Rosemary for your leadership, your thoughtfulness, your persistence in making us a better organization, making our programs better. As we talked about yesterday, we were talking about this occasion. We're not done yet.
Yeah.
We know we got room to go and work to do, and I know and have high confidence that you won't be a stranger both to these meetings and offline, making sure we're doing the right things and fighting like hell for people who need to be fought for. Just a quick snapshot of the impact Kevin mentioned on sort of micro businesses and small businesses. During COVID, more than 46,000 micro businesses benefited from our programs. During sort of our peacetime programs and the small business programs, we're into the thousands of micro businesses that have benefited from us in the tens of millions of dollars, and that's just the beginning in those regards. And those are things that's a part of the economy we, before Rosemary came along, did not have much, if any, focus on. And it's been a sea change for how we think about things, how we think about our programs, how we target them, how we do outreach. And so that legacy that you've built here over the last 3 years of your term on the board will live on long beyond your service and support. So thank you, Rosemary.
Thank you for everything.
We have a ton to get through, as the chairman mentioned. This is a loaded blockbuster agenda. Hard to think of it. Kevin mentioned the most raucous meeting we've ever had. This is probably the most policy and programmatic rich meeting we've certainly had in a long time. We have a number of different things to get through. It's going to be a bit of a marathon, so I'll shut up pretty quickly. Other than to do a couple things, one just mark that, as Kevin mentioned, as the chairman mentioned, we continue to be busy. We launched the manufacturing voucher program since the last time we were together. We've had nearly 400 manufacturing businesses participating in that program. We just yesterday released another $5 million into the Sustain and Serve program right at the holiday season to help support another 500,000 meals or so being purchased from New Jersey restaurants that need the business to support folks who need a good meal, particularly at this time of year. We continue to push forward on any number of different initiatives that are covered in my written report, and I'll sort of suspend that there. I do want to, before we get to the agenda, I recognize it is sort of retirement time of year, given that the calendar is about to turn over. A number of folks I want to recognize from our team through the year or in the next 10 days or so are going to be moving on to their next chapter and saying goodbye to the EDA, but whose impact will be strongly felt. So I have six letters from the great governor of the state, Bill Murphy, to members of our team. One of them is here. I'll make a special recognition of him in a moment, but you're in spirit, and I think Renee's on the phone, but recognizing all of these folks for their contributions to the EDA. Some have been here decades and built this place. Some have been here only a little bit more recently, but also made huge impacts. So I hope everyone will please join me in recognizing and thanking John Balsama, Renee Calvary, Mike Conti, Jake Genovese, and Daryl Spence, and in particular, the one and only John Rosenfeld, who is standing in the back row. John, I'll give a special shout-out to. John has been for the 5 years I've known him, I know for long before that, a person very comfortable standing up for doing the right thing and doing things the right way, even when that is an unpopular opinion, including from time to time. And that is your job, and you've done it extraordinarily well, and this place will not be the same without you, and we will miss you. You've got 5 or 6 more days before I think the official retirement day comes, and I know you'll be at it until the very last minute, because your dedication to this place, to this state, to this organization has been second to none. And I want to thank John in particular. John, if you want to come up and grab you're in person to grab your letter. Get yours in person. 31 years, by the way. 31 years.
Wow.
Thank you, John. All right, with that, Mr. Chairman, I will yield the floor to you.
All right. It feels like we got the bus warmed up. It's time to get going. So as Policy and Audit Committee Chair, the Policy Committee reviewed several memos, the creation of several new programs. I mentioned in my opening comments, the Cannabis Grant Program, the Small Business E-Commerce Support Program, and the Food Retail Innovation and Delivery Grant Program, which you'll learn more about shortly. The committee also reviewed a number of timely and significant memos pertaining to the New Jersey wind port. Exciting stuff going on there. I'm spending my afternoon at the wind port. I will dress warmly. Finally, the audit committee met and received the 2023 draft fiscal plan, which will be presented to the board today. And for those following along on the posted public agenda, we've adjusted the order. So we've moved up two new real estate programs proposed to fall after community development, and we've moved authority matters to the end of the agenda for presentation flow for those at home. So let's go to community development. To approve the creation of the Cannabis Grant Program, Ty Cooper, Chief Community Development Officer, and Genevieve Jones, Program Manager Policy, presenting. Ty, Genevieve?
Well, they're taking the roster. I'll just lead off. First of all, thank you, Ty and Jennifer, for what they're about to do and more importantly, the work they've done to get this right. Governor Murphy has said from the beginning of the cannabis legalization exercise that this is about justice and it's about equity, and that's what this program is about as well. Tack on that. If you can get them along the way, some jobs and some wealth creation and some enterprise building as well. And so we've had a whole-of-government approach. The Cannabis Regulatory Commission and its great chair has done tremendous work in setting up a legal adult-use recreational cannabis marketplace. It's in the early days. We want to make sure that, as Rosemary's pointed a few moments ago, that this is built the right way from an equity and inclusion perspective. Again, whole-of-government approach. Melanie Willoughby, the great executive director of the Action Center, is here, and her and Penny and the team over there are doing some great work in this burgeoning field as well. And so thanks to them for being here, for their partnership and support on that and lots of other things. But this is a really important program. It's the first of its kind in New Jersey. We think it's kind of it's a bit of a category definer in the nation as well. And so I'm very proud of that. And I want to thank Ty and Jen in particular for their blood, sweat, and tears in building this program in the last couple of weeks and months. So with that,
thank you. It's actually been like closer to a year, so that's what it feels like.
Can I just jump in real quick?
For sure, absolutely.
Just to let folks know on the line, we have Gabriel Chacon, Meredith Friedman from the AG's office, and Matthew Reagan here as well, just in case any AGs step in on any matters. Thank you.
No worries. Thank you so much. Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, board members. I appreciate your patience with this. And I have to say especially thank you to our legal team and to Rosemary, who we heard is leaving today, but just for such great inputs. You heard from Tim already, but this is a super nuanced, complicated, new field that is messy. We get that. We understand that. And I'm grateful for the folks at EDA that have been so on board with making sure we get this the right way. This is going to be the first of many products that we roll out for this new industry, the first one being our Cannabis Grant Program. I'm going to provide a little bit of context and background because I do think it's important when we talk about cannabis because there is a bias that exists already with this field. So I want to make sure we acknowledge it and then move forward. The war on drugs, as we all know, has created significant economic and social impacts on Americans, especially in communities of color. Hold that to today, where as of 2022, 21 states have legalized recreational cannabis. In addition, I think it's another 10 that have done both recreational and medicinal at 33, which has aided in removing the stigma of cannabis. By 2025, cannabis is expected to bring approximately $2.4 billion to New Jersey's economy. I mention those numbers because while we're creating a burgeoning new industry, we have to make sure that we look upon those that were impacted the most and those communities that were impacted the most. By creating a grant that's really focused on social equity, that's exactly what we're trying to do to create a stronger and fairer New Jersey. Cannabis entrepreneurship opportunities play a critical part in building and returning wealth to individuals and communities that have been negatively impacted by the war on drugs. To get to this place, we have held several roundtables throughout the state, North, South, and Central Jersey. We've talked to potential and existing applicants in order to move this initiative forward. We wanted to make sure that we had input from stakeholders before we developed anything. Like I said before, this is the first of many programs we intend to roll out for cannabis. We're also looking at revolving loan funds, founders and funders, accelerator programs, and additional TA. As Tim talked about, we do have a whole-of-government approach, and we've worked very closely with the Cannabis Regulatory Commission, NJ Back, Melanie and Penny, who are here, Jamara from GAU, from the Governor's Authority Unit, just to make sure that we had an alignment of resources and also desired outcomes. To me, this is really important to have Jenna here on my team. Jenna has a background as an attorney in criminal justice reform and also works for the Senate Majority Office. So having her lead this initiative was not only right, it's just the right timing. So I'm very glad to let Jenna walk through this program, and we'll get to it. I was very short this time.
Thank you, Ty. Good morning, board members. My name is Jenna Jones, and I am a program manager for community development working under Ty Cooper. I'd just like to extend thank yous for the individuals at EDA, and other government agencies who have really helped get this, get us to the finish line today. Pat and his team, community development for providing feedback, Gabe and Liz for working tirelessly to get this memo to board, Ty Cooper, who is our tireless champion on this issue, and last but not least, John Costello, who has been my partner in every way in this project. I'm here to present the Cannabis Grant Program for your approval. Today, we're asking the board to approve the creation of the Cannabis Grant Program, a pilot program that will make grant funding available to eligible private entities for early-stage expenses related directly to cannabis business startups in New Jersey. For the utilization of $10 million from the State General Fund, from the supplemental appropriation of the 2021 budget, and delegation of authority to our Chief Executive Officer to approve individual applications for the Cannabis Grant Program in accordance with the terms set forth in the attached product specification support memo. The cannabis market is a new market in New Jersey with a very high barrier to entry. It's very capital intensive, and there's a lack of access to traditional sources of capital. Those who have been most harmed by the war on drugs, the individuals who have been involved in the criminal justice system because of cannabis-related offenses, and the communities that have been economically and socially ravaged by the war on drugs oftentimes have the greatest need to acquire capital and cannot do so through traditional means. They have to rely on friends and family and or private investment. This grant program provides a critical source of capital to cannabis business owners with a focus on social equity applicants who are individuals who have been convicted of cannabis-related offenses or have resided in communities that have been affected by the war on drugs. EDA has created the Cannabis Grant Program to address the challenges faced by these individuals in terms of lack of access to capital to stimulate investments in these communities. Just to go over the high barriers for entry, to start a cannabis business in New Jersey, manufacturers and cultivators can spend between $3 million and $10 million. Retailers can spend anywhere from $650,000 to $1 million, and anywhere upwards of $10 million for the larger facilities. The barriers also include there's an intensive licensing process that requires a lot of capital to even convert to an annual license. There's limited amount of real estate and municipal barriers, including the local zoning controls and municipal-specific requirements. The grant is going to use the following classifications created by the Cannabis Regulatory Commission to target specific populations who have been affected by the war on drugs. These are social equity applicants, which are defined by the CRC as businesses that are owned by individuals with previous cannabis-related convictions or owned by individuals who have lived in an economically disadvantaged area. The grant is also targeting impact zones, which are municipalities that are designated by New Jersey statute based on past criminal marijuana charges. 5% of the funding will be available to these applicants. In addition, the two major requirements from the funding legislation is that the formation date must be after March 9th, 2020, and the entities must have less than 50 full-time employees. So just to quickly go over the two products, the grant program has two products that target two different populations. The first product is a grant of $150,000. It requires a conditional license. It's targeted towards entities with a conditional license who want to obtain an actual license but need more financial and technical assistance to progress to their actual application. There will be 24 awards, and as a requirement for grant approval, grantees must enroll in an EDA-sponsored technical assistance training program. This grant, Product 1, will be open to all social equity applicants and has a 5% set-aside in funding for impact zones. The second product is targeted towards entities that are farther along in the licensing process but still have significant carrying costs. It requires a conditional or actual license, the entity to have secured their real estate and municipal approval. There will be 24 awards open to all applicants with a 40% set aside for social equity applicants. In summary, the board members are asked to approve the creation of the Cannabis Grant Program, and just to shorten it, to allow delegation to the authorities, Chief Executive Officer, to approve individual applications for the Cannabis Grant Program.
All right, do we have any questions for Ty and Jim?
Aisha Glover, I just have one quick question. If you could maybe speak a little bit to the technical assistance or support that would be provided to ensure that as a business they're successful?
So it's just a really good question. So what we have done a really good job of over the past couple of years is really providing technical assistance for this specific business. We're putting out an RFP to culturally competent providers that have cannabis experience to go through an entire process. We're working with Back already that has an 8-week program that they just were awarded to do the pre-application, so getting too conditional. That's what Back helps you with. Our program is going to be very specific to how you actually run a cannabis business, making sure they understand everything from security to insurance, having your SOPs together. Also just making sure they understand the real estate market as well. So there's several entities we know that are eligible for this that have done types of TA like this nationwide, and that's what we're looking for our TA program. And again, coming through EDA, we want to make sure we have wraparound services, especially for product one. That's what we're looking at. Thank you, Ms. Glove.
Thank you.
Other questions?
Rosemary? Well, I'll make a statement first and then a question.
For sure.
The statement is, I appreciate your team for all of the extra effort and willingness to listen to folks when you did the listening section sessions. Mm-hmm. They came down to Camden, and we had a vast group that's different at different stages, mm-hmm. and they listened, they took notes, they were honest in what we possibly can do and can't do, mm-hmm. Came back and incorporated a lot of that into what is now this program. So I wholeheartedly thank you. And I think that's important that people know that you listen and they see some of those results. Questions regarding the training piece,
mm-hmm.
I just think it's real important that it's a holistic approach. I like the fact that has, I guess, that front end.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we just need to make sure, this sounds like a statement too, but we need to make sure that we're not being too academic.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, we being NJZ and other organizations tend to treat training as academic and not real life, and we sometimes forget to meet people where they are. So just to make sure that when we talk about the nuances, that nuances all the way through. But my question is, that 5%, is that part of that bucket, or is there an additional 5% that you talked about that was for the impact zone? And
the impact zone is a 5% set aside, so that's in addition to the 40% you're talking about for product two.
Right.
So it's 40% that's given to social equity candidates, and then 5% that's set aside separately for impact zone.
Okay. And the social impact group, do we know what that bucket looks like in terms of ethnicity?
So we are working very closely with CRC on that, just to ensure that we know the full demographic breakdown and makeup of all the individuals that are applying for social equity.
Okay. And one of the reasons I asked that is because we want to make sure between conditional and annual that the folks that were the most impacted and had generational impact because of family members
mm-hmm.
Being incarcerated or have a record or whatever the case may be, that those folks get to the finish line.
Absolutely.
Because I don't know how many folks of color have actually received that license. So we just need to make sure that while we talk about licensing, we talk about annual license and not the fact that we have 1,000 people, 250 people of color that have a condition that can't make it to the finish line. And that becomes funding and financing and being creative in the way that we get them there.
No, 100%. Everything you said, we take to heart. And again, the Camden meeting was the most lively meeting we've had. But it's necessary. And I think I also just thank you for also acknowledging the fact that we listened, we came down there and understood that. And I take point on everything you're saying as far as technical assistance and then also ensuring that for the social equity bucket under Product 2, we are going to be asking folks to self-identify as well.
We're using targeted marketing.
And we're doing targeted marketing. We have Tara Dowdell, who's already on the case.
Okay.
Fantastic. We'll be working on this. Again, we want to make sure we're targeting folks. We want to make sure we carry them through the process. We want to see businesses survive, right? Like survive and thrive. And Jersey can be that state where like this industry thrives and is based upon equity. So that's what we're really shooting for.
So, and we just have to make sure that those other organizations, and I know that there's a very thin needle of thread, I think that's the same. you know, from a legal standpoint and all these other buckets that we talked about, that they're comprehensive and that we all are headed on that same path and that we recognize that we can't do the same as usual and we need to be creative, bold, and step outside the box and making sure it happens. And that we have the commitment from NJEDA and the rest of the team that we are going to put together loans, funding programs that will help people of color get to the finish line, and that means an annual license. Is that correct?
I gave you my word privately. I will give you my word publicly.
All right. Other questions for Ty and Jenna? We have no other questions. Can I get a motion to approve?
Dragon,
motion
to approve.
Good. Robert, can I get a second?
I want you to
second. Second by acclamation.
Go ahead. I defer to whoever spoke up. This is Liz. Someone else can do it if there's someone there.
That's a good reading.
But you can take the honor. That's fine.
Hey, folks, we got 20 more spots.
Jenny Fowler, I'll second.
any more discussion? All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, next item on the agenda. Thank you. Small Business E-Commerce Support Program, Christina Fuentes, VP of Community and Business Development, presenting. Christina.
Okay. Thanks. Staff is seeking board approval for the creation of the Small Business E-Commerce Support Program, a pilot program under the Main Street Recovery Finance Program that will offer e-commerce and digital marketing consulting services to eligible New Jersey restaurants, retail stores, and personal care businesses that are situated in a commercial location and meet the U.S. Small Business Administration's definition of a small business. This program will assist eligible small businesses by providing direct services like the development of websites, e-commerce platforms, and digital marketing plans to help small businesses increase their client base and better serve their customers, which gives them a better chance for long-term success. NJEDA will be entering into 7 contracts with firms that are indicated in this memo to provide e-commerce and digital marketing services for an initial term of two-year terms with another 2 1-year extension option to be exercised at the sole discretion of the authority. The total combined contract award will be for $1 million with delegation to the authority's CEO to increase funding as needed up to $4 million. So this product will be funded through the Main Street Recovery Finance Program established through the Economic Recovery Act of 2020. And finally, staff is seeking delegation of the authority's CEO to approve individual requests for small business e-commerce support program with a maximum award of $11,400 in accordance with the terms set forth in the attached product specs.
Thank you, Christina. Any questions for Christina?
Having a bench in this program is a really smart approach. I want to thank Christina and the team for doing that because there's 7 folks that are signed up. I suspect some will be great, some will not be great, and we'll have an option to make sure we're always having someone who's good.
And we have a good distribution of North Central South.
Regionally as well. So it's a good, smart way to approach it as opposed to having all our eggs in one or two baskets. So kudos as always to Christina for doing a great thing.
It's my last meeting. But I just want to make this
statement. Go out with a bang.
Yeah, I know. I think this is a great program because when I first started, one of the conversations I had with both the chairman and Tim as the CEO was that we need to hire micro and small businesses to do the business because they understand. And this program does that because I recognize some of the names on the list. And that's where we talk about a fair and more sustainable New Jersey that does it. So thank you. You guys are on a roll. Only took 3 years.
I'll turn to questions or comments for Christina. If we have no other questions or comments, can I get a motion to approve?
Giblin, so moved.
Thank you, Noreen. Can I get a second?
Dragon.
Thank you, Rosemarie. Any discussion? All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, next item, we're staying with Christina here. Recommendation for additional funding for the Small Business Improvement Grant Program. Christina.
Staff is seeking board approval to utilize additional funding for the Main Street Recovery Finance Program, which is the appropriation established through the Economic Recovery Act of 2020 This request will supplement the existing $30 million of funding allocated to the Small Business Improvement Grant that is still open and currently taking applications as well. So this product was established at our August 2021 board meeting and is a grant that reimburses New Jersey small businesses 50% of their costs for capital improvements and purchases of furniture, fixtures, and equipment, which were paid for 2 years prior to their application date. The maximum award of this product is $50,000, and staff is seeking approval to use an additional $500,000 to continue paying for temporary staff that are currently processing applications for NJEDA, allocating another $15 million to this product with the CEO delegation to go up to $30 million to continue to fund approvals before the funds are fully exhausted, and also for NJEDA to take a 3% administrative fee for this additional allocation.
Questions for Christina?
One real quick one. We love having this program. It's open all the time. A lot of our small business programs have been in sort of rounds, and if you don't wake up at 9:15 on the right day and make sure you're in, this Christina and her team go out and meet with somebody. They can apply tomorrow. They can apply next week. They can apply next month. It's always there for them. And this continued funding keeps that going.
So the folks that have already been in the pipeline, have they all been processed through, or no, they're still?
Not currently. We still are working through the pipeline, so we're currently into like 1,200 that we're working through, so that's why we need the additional staff to continue going through that. The problem is we don't have a January board meeting, so we didn't want someone to get stuck without getting actually paid out. So that's why we're going a little bit, but we're spending about $2 to $3 million a month on approvals. So we're, you know, this was numbers as of December 2nd, we're already over 900 for $22 million that have been approved. So, and we post approvals on our website as well, too. And so far, we've hit approvals in every county.
Other questions for Christina? We have no other questions. Can I get a motion to approve? Can I get a second?
Jenny, I'll second. Jenny.
Thank you, Jenny. Any more discussion? All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions?
I'm going to have to abstain.
Personals. Okay. Do you need to say more than that?
I'm sorry?
He's abstaining. You need a reason?
Yeah.
Family member might be looking to apply. All right. Thank you, Robert. Next item on the agenda, Food Retail Innovation and Delivery Grant Program. So this gets unfurled here.
Acronym of the day for Emily.
Emily Apple, Director of Economic Security, presenting. Emily.
Thank you very much, Chairman. The members are being asked to approve today the creation of the Food Retail Innovation and Delivery Grant, or FRIDGE. That was a true team effort on the acronym. It is a new pilot program that will provide grant funding to New Jersey food retailers to purchase self-contained temperature-controlled lockers. Think of if you've ever had an Amazon or a package delivered to an Amazon or a UPS locker, but refrigerated or freezer capable. And this will enable us to expand grocery delivery opportunities for residents of food desert communities that were approved by the board back in February of 2022. This will utilize $2.6 million appropriated to the EDA for food and agriculture innovation from the FY22 state budget, with up to $100,000 available for EDA administrative expenses. The goal of this program is to leverage existing retailers that may exist outside the boundaries of food desert communities, but have the capacity to deliver within food desert communities to increase the accessibility of healthy, fresh, affordable groceries to food desert community residents. Crucially, given the high enrollment in SNAP, or food often referred to as food stamps, within food desert communities, applicants for FRIDGE must be authorized by the U.S. Department of Agriculture to accept SNAP benefits online so that individuals utilizing SNAP can access grocery delivery as easily as I can with a credit card. SNAP consumers represent a critical part of the market for supermarkets. In New Jersey, nearly 435,000 families receive these benefits each month, topping over $200 million a month. At the same time, shopping behavior has changed overall, as online grocery orders have increased by more than fourfold over the course of the pandemic and account for over 10% of all grocery sales and are projected to surpass by more than 20% by 2026. With more families choosing online shopping, this represents an opportunity to leverage new technology with the potential to expand reach and open up new business opportunities for food retailers,
while increasing the accessibility of food to residents of food desert communities. The program itself will give grants of up to $250,000 for food retailers to subsidize the purchase of these large temperature-controlled locker units with stackable bonuses for activities such as waiving delivery fees or locating the locker on-site with a community-based organization. Importantly, the food retailer must place the locker within a food desert community, and the program will only pay for prospective purchases. So the retailer could not have already purchased the locker and get funding from us. Eligible applicants have to be food retailers authorized by the USDA to connect online, be in good standing with New Jersey sister agencies, and commit to placing the locker in a food desert community in a location that's accessible to the public at least 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. Upon approval, grantees will have the ability to make the purchase of up to 1 year with ability for extensions where extenuating circumstances may arise, and the authority will not disburse payment until the grantee provides evidence that the locker has been delivered and installed within the food desert community. Grantees are responsible on reporting on key indicators for 3 years following the grant disbursement. With that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Questions for Emily.
I'm sorry. You said that you're going to put a refrigerator in a location and have people go and pick up food, groceries?
Mm-hmm. So it's a, these lockers are sort of secure. If you've ever had a package delivered to an Amazon locker, a UPS locker, you're, you know, sort of delivered a code. It's only for you to be able to go pick up your package. These lockers are custom designed for grocery delivery so that it can be food safe and temperature controlled in a way that enables people to go pick up their groceries at a time that's convenient to them, recognizing that not everyone can be home within the windows that grocery providers are able to deliver.
You don't think that's offensive? That you're sending people with SNAP and poor people that have low income and saying, here, go to a refrigerator and pick up some food?
Yeah, I think I see it pretty differently. So imagine a senior center that has a parking lot that can, instead of building a grocery store, which isn't very successful very often, having a place where folks can go where they're normally going and walk and pick up groceries as opposed to not have access to groceries. I don't see that as
the idea is, you know, and I take your point quite seriously. Thank you for making it. The idea is to that many folks who live within food desert communities that don't currently have a grocery store nearby is that they are taking multiple buses or paying out of their own pocket to be able to access a grocery store that is outside of their community. So instead of forcing them to travel, we want to bring those groceries closer to them so that they don't have to get on those two buses and wait for the transfers and lug things home on the bus. We want to make it so that they can walk out their door and get groceries as easily as if they actually had a store located within their community. And this is meant to be a complementary strategy to all of the various strategies that we're building out around food security. So we recognize this is one drop in the bucket of a much larger strategy to bring food retailers closer to home, but also leverage the ones we have and make them more accessible to people that might not be able to access them close by.
Prior to 2021, online SNAP is not a thing.
Yes, it's a relatively new pilot. So this is something that is authorized by the United States Department of Agriculture.
So the bodega center, if the communities can have one of these.
Could apply for one, sure.
Yes, yeah, so if you're a bodega, you could potentially apply to, or you could be a place where this is cited. You know, food retailers that are authorized to accept SNAP online at this time tend to be larger retailers. We're also working on a complementary strategy to try to offer technical assistance to get more people into the program. This is a federal authorization, so of course it takes time, but, you know, this is sort of one way that in the short term we can leverage that SNAP online authorization and bring those groceries closer to where people live.
Other questions for Emily? We have no other questions for Emily. Can I get a motion to approve?
I get a motion to approve.
Can I get a second?
Jenny Bauer, I'll second.
Thank you, Jenny. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Any recusals, abstentions?
You got my vote?
Yeah, I got you. We got you. Okay. All right, we're going to – thank you, Emily. All right. So we're moving on to the real estate portion of our agenda. We have two new programs we're going to cover here. The first one is the Construction Inflation Fund Pilot Program. Liza Nolan, Director, Real Estate Programs, presenting. Liza.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Construction Inflation Fund is a pilot program. It's being established to provide grants for real estate development projects that have been impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. They've experienced construction cost increases and project funding gaps. The program will utilize the Federal American Rescue Plan, Coronavirus State and Local Fiscal Recovery Fund, in order to mitigate the economic negative impacts from COVID and be able to provide the gap funding that will be necessary to begin or continue the construction of the projects. The types of projects that will be eligible for the funding include commercial, office, manufacturing, or mixed-use developments, as long as they have experienced a pandemic-related cost increase. Total program funding will be $10.5 million, $10 million for project grants, and $500,000 for EDA's administrative expenses. With the federal funding comes a number of requirements. So the program funding must be obligated by December 31st, 2024, and the funds must be expended by December 31st, 2026. So we took that into account in the structuring of the program. Additional eligibility requirements besides the types of projects that I just described will be a project sized at least $5 million of total project costs. Applicants must agree to a 50% deferral of their developer fee, and applications will be reviewed for cost reasonableness and duplication of benefits. All projects also will be subject to prevailing wage law and other labor standards requirements. This will be a competitive grant program with minimum grant amounts of $500,000 provided and maximum grants of $5 million per project or per applicant. Grant funding for each project cannot exceed 20% of the total project cost. The application process will include submission of various eligibility requirements in order to meet the federal program requirements, as well as regular application documentation. And then eligible applicants will be reviewed and scored by an evaluation committee here at the authority. Some of the scoring factors will include readiness to proceed, especially in order to meet the federal funding obligation deadlines. Also, the financial feasibility and cost effectiveness of the project. And bonus points will be provided for location within low or moderate income communities and or for participation by women, minority, and veteran business enterprises. All applications for awards will be presented to the board for approval. And applicants that will receive funding would enter into a grant agreement with the authority required, which would outline all of the federal reporting and compliance requirements, and also we would have a typical construction disbursement process for the real estate projects. We're requesting approval of the program and also for entering into an MOU with DCA as the administrator of the federal funds for the state. Thank you.
Thank you, Liza. Any questions for Liza? We have no questions for Liza. Can I get a motion to approve?
So moved, Giblin.
Thank you, Noreen. Can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you, Rosemarie. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, next I am staying with Liza here on the Film and Digital Media Studio Infrastructure Program.
Thank you again. The Film and Digital Media Studio Infrastructure Program a little bit complicated to say, but it's
not
a pilot program.
Not a good acronym yet.
Not a good acronym, no. We did not win that award. It is another pilot program that EGA is releasing. It will provide grant funding to support infrastructure improvements and site work in support of a separate development of a studio production facility. The program will utilize $10 million from the state appropriations fiscal year 2023 budget. $9.5 million will be used as grants for approved projects and $500,000 for EDA's administrative expenses. The eligible applicants are government entities in conformance with EDA's IRF statute requirements, municipalities, municipal entities, counties, county entities, or state instrumentalities would be the eligible applicants for this funding. The funding can be used for a variety of infrastructure improvements, roadwork, site work, electric, gas, sewer lines improvements, telecommunications, safety improvements, sidewalks, or lighting. So those would be the eligible applicants uses of the funds. Applicants also must submit as part of their application a letter from the studio production facility outlining what the studio production facility is going to be built or was built, the number of jobs, and the size of the studio production facility. Again, this is a real estate development project, so prevailing wage and other labor standard compliance requirements will be required. It's a competitive grant program, so we will have a defined application window. Minimum grant amounts would be $50,000. Maximum funding amounts would be $4.75 million per project or per applicant. The grant funding can provide 100% of the total project cost. Applications would be reviewed and scored again by an evaluation committee set up here at the authority based on such factors as readiness to proceed, the project merits, the project feasibility, experience and capacity, and also any participation by small women, minority, veteran business enterprises. Initially, applications would be separated into those applications that are supporting a larger studio in excess of 250,000 square feet and those supporting a smaller, less than 250,000 square feet. Assuming that an application from each of those pools meets our minimum scoring requirements, those first applications would be funded, and then the remaining applications that, again, meet our minimum required score would be put into one pool and funded in the order of the highest scored application at that point until funds are distributed. Again, the applications after approval, would be presented to the board for approval, and then we would enter into a grant agreement with them. Again, it's a real estate construction project, so we would monitor disbursements and oversee construction. We're requesting approval of this program.
Thank you, Liza. Questions for Liza? If we have no questions for Liza, can I get a motion to approve?
Motion to approve, Angela.
Rob, can I get a second?
Jenny Bauer, I'll second.
Thank you, Jenny. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right. Thank you, Liza.
Thank you, Liza.
All right, we're going to move to the incentives portion of our agenda. Jenny Bauer, our incentives chair, would you like to make a few comments?
Yes, just briefly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The incentive committee met on December 8th, and we discussed the approval of tax credits under the New Jersey Evergreen Innovation Fund, as well as three film and digital media tax credits. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Jenny. So the first item is the Evergreen Innovation Fund, the 2022 program auction bid approvals. Alexander Hoffman, Manager of Venture Programs, presenting.
Where Alexander goes, this is a program. So when Governor Murphy rolled out his economic development plan on October 1st of 2019, the Evergreen proposal, if it can even be called a proposal, the Evergreen notion was one of the centerpieces of of that strategy, and it required an enormous amount of effort to get that into the Economic Recovery Act and then to get it implemented. This auction piece, in particular, is the most, sort of from a government program perspective, the most innovative piece of the entire program. And candidly, I was pretty nervous about how it was going to go. I shared that with you several times, Mr. Chairman.
You did hedge.
Oh, hedging. You tell the chairman.
Like a cat on a hot tin roof.
Something like that. I was making, I thought it was going to work, but I was a little nervous. And I'm really thrilled that what Alexander is going to propose and present here in a moment is a grand slam result, particularly for that first auction. Tim Rolander gets a huge amount of credit. Kathleen Coviello, I know, is on the phone and a bit under the weather, or she would be here for her victory lap and the entire team that they've built. Just extraordinary work.
First in the nation.
First in the nation. Like you can't their own. I guess that's your own. In tribute to the president, this is a BFD. Alexander, go for it.
Tim, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm excited to be with you today to present our recommendations of awards for the 2022 New Jersey Innovation Evergreen Fund Tax Credit Auction, the first of up to five annual auctions, which will provide funding and strategic support for this groundbreaking program and the early-stage innovation sector in New Jersey. Approved into law by Governor Murphy as part of the Economic Recovery Act of 2020, with regulations approved by the Board of the Authority in April of 2022, the Evergreen Program is a partnership with the private sector that raises and invests funds in high-growth New Jersey-based companies and will increase venture capital funding available to the state's innovation ecosystem, creating the conditions necessary for entrepreneurs to succeed. The legislation authorizes the EDA to sell up to $300 million of corporation business tax credits, or CBT tax credits, to corporations operating in New Jersey, which may purchase tax credits for a minimum purchase price of 75% of face value to offset their CBT liability in the state by up to 25%. In addition, successful tax credit purchasers must implement a strategic commitment to support New Jersey's innovation ecosystem. Applications for the 2022 auction year opened August 1st and closed on October 7th. The results of the auction are presented here today for approval. I'm pleased to share that the first program tax credit auction was a success, resulting in bids from eight corporations requesting $62.3 million in program tax credits. $50 million of tax credits are available for purchase through this year's auction, generating an oversubscription of approximately $12.3 million. Based on the outcome of the 2022 auction, participants will be able to purchase the $50 million of program tax credits for an aggregate purchase price of $41.1 million. This represents an average purchase price of 82% of tax credit face value, 7 percentage points higher than the statutory minimum requirement of 75%. Each bidder also put forth a unique strategic commitment proposal to support New Jersey's innovation economy. Summary of examples of support include contributions to support external mentorship programs, free shared workspace open to high-growth startups, long-term commitments of education and training to support the futures of STEM students from underserved school districts in the state, forums that will bring together world-class investors, enterprises, early-stage startups, and more. When including the $3.8 million aggregate cost of proposed strategic commitments that will support the state's innovation economy, the benefit to the state further increases to 90% of tax credit face value. To determine award allocations, each completed applicant bid was scored by a committee of authority staff members following the April 2022 board-approved methodology. Applicants' total scores are a composite of financial bid prices, the amount paid for a dollar of tax credits, and strategic commitment scores. Given the oversubscription for this year's auction, the scores were applied according to the board-approved process, resulting in the prorated awards noted in Appendix A of the memo. The second appendix of the memo offers a summary of applicant tax credit purchasers' strategic commitments. This list includes representation from established corporate citizens, many of whom are household names operating in New Jersey, each institutionalizing their commitment of support in this program. Their engagement with the Evergreen Program will continue as a member of the advisory board, as a platform to facilitate their engagement with high-growth, early-stage startups and qualified venture firms active in the state. The eight successful tax credit purchaser applicants, all of which are recommended for approval to purchase program tax credits, are Verizon Communications Incorporated, Comcast Cable Communications, Cross River Bank, Daiichi Sankyo, Track Intermodal, C CGI Technology Solutions, Haleon, and Holman. Authority staff recommends the board approve awardee purchases of prorated tax credit award amounts based on participant total scores as illustrated in Appendix A of the memo. Thank you for your consideration, and I welcome any questions or comments at this time.
Any questions for Alexander? There's no questions for Alexander. Can I get a motion to approve?
Jenny Bauer, I'll move it.
Jenny, can I get a second?
Second, Elijah.
Thank you, Bill. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right.
I'm just going to make a note for the record that Matthew Reagan from the AG's office is just speaking from a staff perspective on this item.
Okay. Thank you. Alexander, thank you. Nice job. Next item on the agenda, film and digital media tax credit. We have, we're going to make one presentation here and have two votes. Matt Sestrich, Senior Program Officer, Film and Digital Media Tax Credit Programs, presenting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. EDA staff has completed the review and recommends the approval of two applications under the Film and Digital Media Tax Credit Program. Both applications are under the Film Tax Credit side of the program. We have received written confirmation from an outside firm hired to review the production budgets to make sure they are reasonable within industry standards. All film content has been reviewed and recommended for approval under the Act by the New Jersey Motion Picture and Television Commission. Total credits utilized across the two recommended approvals is over $38.1 million. The first application under consideration is for Stalwart Productions, LLC, who is responsible for the production of The Walking Dead, Dead City. This project includes a 2% diversity bonus, and we're recommending an award of $20,165,136. The second application is Shelter S1 Productions, LLC. They are responsible for the production of Shelter Season 1. This project also includes a 2% diversity bonus, and we are recommending an approval of an award of $17,967,771. Each project will need its own separate vote, and happy to answer any questions.
Great, thank you, Matt. First item, Solwart Productions, LLC, just over $20 million in tax credits. Can I get a motion to approve?
Dragon, motion to approve.
Can I get a second?
Jenny Bauer, I'll second.
Thank you, Jenny. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, next item, the Shelter S1 Productions, LLC, tax credits of almost $18 million. Can I get a motion to approve?
Jenny Bauer, I'll move it.
Can I get a second?
Giblin, second.
Thank you, Noreen. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, next item on the agenda, sticking with Matt here, Lionsgate Films, Inc., Studio Partner Designation.
Thank you, Chairman. The members are asked to approve the Studio Partner Designation for Lionsgate Films, Inc., under the Garden State Film and Digital Media Jobs Act. This approval recommendation is for a designation only and is not an award of tax credits. Lionsgate Film, Inc., a subsidiary of Lionsgate Entertainment Corp., has entered into a 10-year lease for a studio in Newark, which will be specifically constructed for film and television production. Lionsgate has committed to occupy 253,000 square feet of the total 350,000 square foot studio complex development. The studio complex, which is to be developed and operated by Great Point Studios, is on a 12-acre site forming the Seth Bowden Housing Complex in the South Ward section of Newark. Estimated to be fully completed in September 2024, the total planned costs are estimated to exceed $194 million. In total, the project will include five production stages, ranges from 20,000 square feet to 30,000 square feet. They're going to offer a full set of production services on site, including grip, electric, on-site equipment and props, set building facilities, restaurants, and on-location catering, and more. The facility will include office and support space, as well as a parking lot that can accommodate over 400 cars and 65 full-size trucks. Initial projections anticipate over 600 full-time jobs will be created as part of this development of the studio complex. On September 15, 2022, Lionsgate Film and Great Point Studios entered into a 10-year lease for Lionsgate to occupy the 253,000 square feet of the to-be-built studio complex. Lionsgate lease includes 70,000 square feet of sound stages, 109,000 square feet of office and support space, 10,000 square feet for food service and others, as well as 64,000 square feet of mill space, set decoration, and storage. Authority staff has reviewed the application for Lionsgate Film, Inc., and found it satisfies the studio partner eligibility requirements of the Act and its proposed rule amendments. Staff recommends that the members designate Lionsgate Film, Inc. as a studio partner. And as a reminder, this recommendation is not an award of tax credits, but for the studio partner designation only. Thank you.
Great. Do you have any questions for Matt?
Just a quick question. When does that 10-year clock start? After the facility is built or once the contract?
Yeah, the commencement of their lease, yeah, when the studio is built.
September-ish of 24, third quarter 24.
Any other questions for Matt?
All the construction and things under prevailing wage.
Yeah, this is... Oh, sorry, Aisha, I was going to jump in, but it sounded like somebody else was asking. Just a clarifying question, is it is the property owner named? Is MJ Pack named? Like, I guess I'm just not totally clear on who the studio partner is, if they're starting a separate entity or if it's Great Point or Lionsgate that's taking the lead.
The awardee would be Lionsgate Film, Inc., Not the studio operator, but the actual tenant.
Got it. Thank you.
And to the other question about prevailing wage, because it's not an award of tax credits and not specifically required, if Lionsgate came in for a film tax credit application that considered construction costs or something like that, then it would be triggered.
If they were to come in for Aspire, which is certainly imaginable, that would trigger for that construction project.
If you don't ask for, that's a good question, but maybe clarification. So if they don't ask for like an Aspire or dollars from specific programs, prevailing wage does not trigger.
Yeah, it always applies, just whether or not it's triggered by financial assistance or not.
It's just a designation.
So right. What I don't know is that the Newark Housing Authority sold them the property, so I don't know if there's a PLA in place. We can find that out. I would be surprised if there's not. And certainly if there's an Aspire application, we trigger that. But, yeah, this does not trigger prevailing wage for construction. It's not a construction program. It's a license, essentially.
Go ahead. Other questions for Matt? We have no other questions for Matt. Can I get a motion to approve?
Robertson,
thank you, Robert.
Jenny Bauer, I'll move it.
Jenny, can that be a second?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jenny. Any discussion? All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Now we're moving on to the director's loan review portion of the agenda. Marcia Marley is our chair. Marcia, would you like to make a few comments before we get to this agenda item?
Very briefly, yes. Thank you, Chairman. First, I want to thank Rosemary Hicks for her important contributions to the Director's Loan and Review Committee. You have kept focused on a more equitable economy. We will miss you. I will miss you. On December 7th, the GLRC Committee had a short and informative meeting to review and discuss one bond resolution authorizing an authorized officer of the authority to enter into one or more escrow deposit agreements for the purpose of defeasing and redeeming all or a portion of certain of the authority's outstanding school facilities construction bonds. This resolution is now before the entire board for approval. I now turn it back over to you, Chairman.
Thank you, Marcia. And the item here we have is defeasance and redemption of certain outstanding NJEDA and school facilities construction bonds. David Lawyer, Managing Director, Underwriting, presenting.
Thank you. The members of the authority are asked to approve a resolution allowing the EDA to enter into one or more escrow deposit agreements for the purpose of defeasing and redeeming all or portion of outstanding school facilities construction bonds. On June 30th of this year, the state established the New Jersey Debt Defeasance and Prevention Fund, within the state's general fund. $5.2 billion was credited to the fund, of which $2.9 billion is appropriated for debt defeasance. In this transaction, Treasury will take approximately $1 billion of cash from the fund, place the proceeds into escrow, and use a portion of the same to make scheduled payments on certain outstanding school facility bonds up to their respective call dates. The bonds to be defeased under this request will be selected from the $4.7 billion bucket identified in the memo. Once the call dates on the selected bonds have been reached, the outstanding balances will be paid off early, using the remainder of the $1 billion from the state plus any interest earned in the escrow account. Since the cash to make future payments and pay off the outstanding bond balances at the respective call dates will be set aside in escrow, the state, soon after board approval, may remove the obligations from its balance sheet. The purpose of this transaction is to lower the state's overall debt levels and save taxpayer money by retiring the bonds early, which eliminates future interest payments. Credit rating agencies also view the defeasance of debt as a positive impact on the state's public debt rating.
Any questions for David? We have no questions for David. Can I get a motion to approve?
Giblin, so moved.
Thank you, Noreen. Can I get a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed, any recusals, abstentions? My two favorite holiday voices, Nat King Cole and David Lawyer. Moving on to the Windport portion of our agenda. New Jersey Windport request for funds on an on-site electrical substation and power distribution system. William Dixon, Director of Pre-Construction, and Jonathan Kennedy, Managing Director of Infrastructure, New Jersey Windport, presenting, and they're going to be with us for the next one as well.
Thank you, Chairman and board members, for your time today. The authority seeks approval from the board to issue a notice to proceed for construction manager AECOM Fishman for construction of electrical substation and duct bank system for the New Jersey Windport not to exceed $39 million. The substation and distribution grid is occurring within AECOM Tishman's existing scope for construction services with the authority. AECOM Tishman will be required to competitively bid out this work. The issuance of this NTP is conditioned upon receipt of bond proceeds sufficient to cover the cost. The bond issuance is targeted for January of 23. Staff is seeking contingent board approval in order that the NTP can be issued immediately upon bond proceedings being secured. This will increase the AECOM Tishman contract to $347 million approximately. The authority or the board has previously approved the authority to enter into agreements with Atlantic City Electric for the design of a power line to the facility and also to procure long lead items. This is a 69 kilovolt transmission line. The substation is needed to receive that power and to step it down to approximately 13.8 kilovolts and to reduce its current load. The substation consists of a prefabricated switchgear building, a switchyard, transformers, and distribution of that power to parcel A at this point in time. The substation is for the entire Windport project, phases one and two, not just parcel A. So, and we need this in order to receive the power from ACE. The electrical distribution system, so you know, it's an underground system through a series of concrete vaults, basically, lack of a better term, a very large conduit system of concrete vaults to supply this power. Also, you know, we are on artificial island. Part of the problem with construction costs is We need this. This all has to be a pile-supported foundation system for this equipment. So we're also ACE is supposed to have their line to us in April of 24. So we're trying to have this in place to receive that power as soon as possible. We don't want any delays in power supply to Parcel A for Ocean Wind 1. We want to try and eliminate also the need for any temporary power if we can, so there's no delay. So that's kind of where we're at with this. The good thing is this is for the entire Windport project, not just Parcel A.
Questions for William? No questions for William.
Can I get a view around all the electrical stuff that we do?
Sounds great.
The checkout. Okay, good.
Can I get a motion to approve?
Thank you,
Rosemarie. Can I get a second?
It's Jenny Bauer. I'll second.
Thank you, Jenny. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, next item is New Jersey Windport Design and Engineering Services contract increase. Bill.
We're asking the members of the board to approve a $12.67 million increase to Moffitt and Nichols Engineering and Design Service contract. This will increase the size and capability of design and detailed design of phases 1 and 2 of the Windport. So what this is going to do, this is going to give us all the funding we need to complete pre-construction, this detailed design for the entire Windport project. It also is going to include some of the highlights to that, not just the parcels, is that we are entering into a unique beneficial reuse of dredge material on a very large scale, a scale that has not been done in New Jersey before. It's been done on a small scale, but we're looking to accomplish it on a large scale. There are a lot of interests, competing interests when it comes to beneficial use of dredge material. But we have a lot of support from the Division of Fish and Wildlife within the Department of Environmental Protection for this and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. In addition, we are going to have Moffitt and Nichol do a feasibility and application support to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for we're going to try and get the maintenance dredging portion of the New Jersey Windport to be undertaken by the federal government. There's a avenue in which that can be accomplished. And if we are successful in that, it'll enable us to leverage 75% federal funds for future maintenance dredging. This goes along a long line of the state leveraging Army Corps of Engineers funding for other things within the state. So I find that a good news part of this is we're going to try and defer some of the costs to the federal government for this work,
right,
due to its interstate commerce component. So,
do we have any questions for Bill?
I do. Actually, the engineering and everything that's going to be done at the Windport, does it have the ability for expansion for ancillary businesses that might come in down at the port in the future?
So with this, the entirety of the project is, we're going to have 2 marshalling yards, 3 manufacturing facilities with the dredge material management on site and administration. That's kind of full build out. Unless we get more property, which is going to be difficult because of the nuclear power plant occupying their property and all the wetlands. So any other expansion for ancillary stuff would have to be off-site, off artificial island.
Interestingly enough, we have a meeting, some of us have a meeting prior to this meeting. We're working with the City of Salem and the County of Salem to do exactly what you described, Robert, which is where's the spillover going to go? If there's spillover, which would be a good thing, where does it go and how do you sort of organize that? I don't know if I can answer that question if we're on it, but that way.
There's already, you know, there's the wind developers are already, you know, developing their own facilities in Atlantic City, both Orsted and
Any other questions for Bill? There's no questions for Bill. Can I get a motion to approve?
Jenny, I'll move it.
Thank you, Rosemary. Jenny, can you make that a second?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor, aye?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? Great. Thank you, Bill. Next item on the agenda, NJEDA State Lease Bond Revenues Offshore Wind Port Project 2023 Series A Federally Taxable Green Bonds. David Lawyer, Managing Director Underwriting, presenting.
Thank you. Members are asked to approve the issuance of one or more series of federally taxable state lease revenue bonds related to the New Jersey Wind Port Project. The proceeds of the bonds will be used to finance a portion of the cost of the New Jersey Wind Point project, which is a hub-style marshaling and manufacturing port that will serve offshore wind projects in New Jersey and across the U.S. Eastern Seaboard. The proceeds will also finance the initial deposit to a rent reserve account and pay the cost of issuance. The series will be financing a portion of the pre-construction and construction costs for the first and second phases of the project, with the first phase targeted to achieve substantial completion in 2025 and phase two targeted for 2028. Loop Capital Market serves as representatives of the underwriters, and the bonds will be sold as a public market offering. The bonds will be issued in a principal amount not to exceed $160 million, with a term not to exceed 20.5 years and an interest rate not to exceed 7.5%. The bonds are expected to have an investment grade rating with a Moody's rating of A3 and a S&P rating of BBB+. The bonds will be federally taxable and receive a green bonds designation. This transaction does not represent any financial exposure to the state or the EDA. The state is not obligated to pay, and neither the credit nor taxing power of the state is pledged to the payment of the principal or interest on the bonds. Bond payments are funded via appropriations from the state, and the state does not have a legal obligation to make an appropriation in support of the bonds, and any non-payment does not represent an event of default. In conclusion, EDA staff recommends that the members approve the adoption of the authorizing resolution, authorizing the issuance of the 2023 series bonds, and the total aggregate principal amount not to exceed $160 million. And to approve the necessary authorizations, delegations, and actions that are need to be taken to allow the closing and issuance of the funds.
Thank you, David. Questions for David?
Just two quick ads. One, Jonathan told me this last night, so I assume it's true. This is the first green bond New Jersey has ever issued, will ever have issued. So that's the first.
Okay. I'm just trying to get Danielle's attention.
Okay. Danielle, the chairman, would like to speak. second bit, I just want to give a shout-out not just to Liz, but the entire team at Treasury, and particularly the Public Finance Group. Michael Caniff has been extraordinary partners with us in this journey. This is a brief and excellent presentation from David, but a complex as hell project and undertaking. So deep appreciation to Liz in particular, and also the team at Treasury and
Thanks, Tim. It's Liz. I just want to thank you for that, and all kudos to OPF, our Office of Public Finance. I think David Moore is on the call, but great teamwork on this, so thank you.
Any other questions or comments for David? There's no more questions and comments. Can I get a motion to approve?
Giblin, so moved.
Thank you, Noreen. Can I get a second?
Second, Marcia.
Thank you, Marcia. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right. Thank you, David. Next item on the agenda, New Jersey EDA State Lease Revenue Bonds Rent Reserve Trustee, John Keeney, Director of Legal and Commercial Infrastructure, NJ Winport. John.
Good morning. Members are asked to approve three items in this resolution. One, to approve Bank of New York Mellon as to act as the rent reserve trustee under the PSE&G ground lease. Two, to approve the EDA CEO to enter into the account control agreement with PSE&G for the rent reserve account. And three, to approve transfer of $4 million to the rent reserve trustee to cover rent until the port begins to generate revenue. This resolution is related to, but not a part of, the bond resolution you just heard. As you heard in that presentation, the bond proceeds will fund portions of project construction, will fund the initial deposit of the PSE&G rent account reserve, and pay for related costs related to the issuance of the bonds. This memo has to do with the second of those three items. So in a typical lease agreement, there's a termination clause that says that if a tenant defaults on a lease or cannot pay rent, the landlord has the right to terminate. When EDA entered into the ground lease with PSE&G for the Windport, however, EDA and PSE&G agreed not to include a termination provision. The reason for this is because the anticipated lease-back arrangement between EDA and Treasury would collapse if the ground lease terminated, and so would the bond funding mechanics. So in lieu of a termination clause in the ground lease, PSE&G requested a rent reserve account that PSE&G could use as security should EDA fail to pay rent or default on the ground lease. As required by the ground lease, an account control agreement is needed between EDA and PSE&G for the rent reserve account. So members are asked to approve the CEO entering into an account control agreement with PSE&G for this purpose. Per the terms of the ground lease, a trustee is required to manage the rent reserve account as well as pay EDA's rent obligations. Because payment of the rent reserve account is one of the purposes of the bond issuance, staff in consultation with the AG's office recommends that the bond trustee selected by Treasury also be the rent reserve trustee. Doing so will ensure consistent and comprehensive management of the bond funds as well as the rent reserve account. So Treasury selected BNY Mellon as the bond trustee, and as such, members are asked to approve BNY Mellon as the rent reserve trustee. Lastly, it's forecasted that EDA will expend approximately $3.4 million in rent obligations prior to the port generating revenue in or around what we're hoping to be April of 2024. Staff anticipate this expense and set aside $7.4 million from the previously allocated project funds for this purpose. Members are asked to approve transfer of $4 million of that reserve, $7.4 million, to the rent reserve trustee in order to cover rent obligations until the port becomes is able to start generating revenue. So in summary, members are asked to approve the CEO entering into the account control agreement for the rent reserve account, to approve the bond trustee, BNY Mellon, to also be the rent reserve trustee, and to approve transfer of $4 million of the reserve, $7.4 million, to the trustee to cover rent obligations until the port is operational and generating revenue. Happy to answer any questions.
Is there any questions for John? There's no questions for John. Can I get a motion to approve?
So move, Giblin.
Thank you, Noreen. Thank you, Jenny. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? Great. Thank you, John. Moving on to authority matters. 2023 draft fiscal plan. Rich LoCascio, controller, presenting. Rich.
Good morning, Chairman.
Good morning.
What we have before us this morning for your consideration is the authority's 2023 fiscal plan document, and the process has been a collaborative effort between the authority's senior staff and management, and encompasses all the programmatic initiatives that the authority is asked to undertake and has been undertaking. A little bit different revenue stream just from pre-pandemic, where it's not just fee income, traditional fee income, it's also reimbursements from the various state and federal appropriations that we've been receiving. Gets us to the same place, internal bottom line of approximately $5.2 million. Slight uptick because we added in the effects of the construction inflation program that we didn't know about when the audit committee convened. All told, the plan demonstrates the authority's fiscal sustainability and responsibility while supporting the authority's mission. For the record, this document was reviewed by the audit committee as required at its meeting of December 8th, and we're asking for the board's approval of same this morning.
Great. Any questions for Rich? No questions for Rich. Can I get a motion to approve?
The motion to approve.
Thank you, Rosemarie. Can I get a second?
Giblin, second.
Thank you, Noreen. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? Thank you, Rich.
Thank you.
Next item is a purchase order to 22nd Century Technologies, Inc. for temporary staff, COVID emergency grant programs, Patience Purdy, Director of Strategic and Program Initiatives, presenting.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I'm the shortest memo you have in front of you, so I'll be quick. We're looking for approval to issue a new purchase order to 22nd Century Technologies for up to $500,000 to continue our contract with them and temporary services in completing the outstanding applications that are there for grant programs, whether they're appeals or legal reviews, and then to also begin the compliance part of those programs. So it's going to be a large undertaking. I think Tim mentioned it was over $300 million solely to micro-businesses. So we're looking at a large amount of compliance, and our purchase order previously is going to run out at the end of January.
All right. Questions for patients?
Much like the virus itself, pandemic programs will never go away. With us for a long time as we sort of live with the after effects thereabouts.
Is this a purchase order for the contract with the 21st Century, or is the purchase order for this?
It's approval for us to issue a new purchase order to 22nd Century for up to $500,000.
Okay, I know that I don't remember which meeting, but a while back I had asked a question to the board in general about the possibility of expanding services beyond just 21st Century in terms of the fact that they're hiring temporary folks to do the review. Again, I pose the question, that is going to 2023 and beyond, and with all the programs that we're approving and the extensiveness of the dollar amount, is there a way that maybe smaller organizations that can also hire temporary people sort of be brought into the mix at some point?
Thank you. Any other questions for patients? There's no questions to that. Thank you. All right. Any other questions for patients? There's no questions for patients. Can I get a motion to approve? So moved. Giblin. Thank you, Noreen. Seconded by Rosemarie. Any discussion? All in favor, aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right. Board member handed, Tim Sullivan, CEO, presenting.
Very brief, because it may feel like we're approaching the tower to land this plane, but we have four items to discuss in executive session, so we got some miles ahead of us still after public comment. I'll be super brief. Three memos in your pack, Brownfields, credit underwriting, and economic transformation. One highlight, the Angel Tax Credit, Investor Tax Credit Program, continues to be a star in driving certain early-stage companies. There's a bunch of details to unpack. Happy to answer questions or talk offline about, but obviously a lot happens in between these meetings at staff level, so that's some of our reports.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Great. Thank you, Tim. I'd now like to open the public comment portion of the meeting. First, I'd like to ask Danielle Esser to read the EDA's public comment policy and process for this telephonic board meeting. Danielle.
Thank you, Chairman. As stated in the NJEDA's public comment policy, mm-hmm. members of the public who wish to speak during the public comment portion of the meeting may have registered to speak at the on the form provided at the door or can be acknowledged in person
Members who the public attending by phone who are interested in providing public comment can press 1, then 0 on their phone to be registered to speak, which will place each person into a queue based on the order received. Go over NJEDA's public comment policy at this time, which is also available on the NJEDA website. Each speaker will be prompted to speak one at a time. Each speaker should announce his or her name, organization affiliation, and the topic on which the remarks will be given. Each speaker will have a maximum of 3 minutes to speak and should limit their comments to matters pertaining to the authority. Staff will prompt the speaker once their time has expired. A speaker may not register to speak more than once during the same public comment period to ensure there's enough time available for all of those who wish to speak. And speakers may provide related documents, printed comments, or materials attached to an email. We look forward to receiving your public comments at this time. And Mr. Chair, I do have 3 members of the public in person who have already registered to speak.
All right, great. I'd like to acknowledge members of the public who are interested in speaking in person. The first registrant I see here is Mike Regan, Senior Vice President, CGI Technologies and Solutions. Mike?
Good morning, and thank you, Chairman Quinn, and distinguished members of the board. I'm Mike Regan, Senior Vice President with CGI. CGI is a global IT and management consulting company with our New Jersey headquarters located in New Brunswick. I just want to take a minute to thank the EDA for allowing CGI the opportunity to participate in the New Jersey Evergreen Auction and approving our application for this investment. I also want to thank Governor Murphy, his administration, and Tim Sullivan for their leadership with this initiative. Not only is the investment a sound business decision for CGI, it is even more important to us because it allows us to invest in the growing innovation economy in New Jersey. As a technology company, it is critical that we support the future of our industry and help new and innovative companies succeed in our state, just as CGI has done for the past 20 years. As I was working through the application process, I needed support from the CGI tax team. With CGI being a global firm, we have tax obligations worldwide. My tax team has heard of programs like the Evergreen program being discussed in other states, but none being implemented, nor as innovative as this program. Finally, I want to thank the EDA staff who helped us through this application process. Their professionalism and patience were greatly appreciated. Thank you, and I wish everyone a happy holiday season.
Thank you, Mike. We love public speakers like that. Danielle, who else do we have here in person?
We have Melanie Willoughby, Executive Director of the New Jersey Business Action Center.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, CEO Tim Sullivan, and members of the board. As the Executive Director of the New Jersey Business Action Center, I want to applaud the EDA today because there are so many of the projects that you have approved here today that will be part of our toolbox as our advocates go out into the field and talk with businesses and say, this is what we have to offer you because of the fact that the EDA has acted today and it will be so beneficial in helping the retention of businesses in the state of New Jersey. But I particularly want to talk today about the Cannabis Grant Program, because the Cannabis Grant Program is something that we applaud you on doing because of the fact you know that the NJBAC is setting up a New Jersey Cannabis Training Academy. And we are very proud to have received the opportunity to do this in partnership with the Cannabis Regulatory Commission. But we are now in partnership with the EDA because of the fact that this will be an opportunity for many of those that we are training to go through our courses to be able to ensure that they are ready for the grants that you are going to be offering. And in addition, that they will be ready for the additional programs that you look to be putting together. And I also would like to say that on the founders and funders, we are particularly interested because we have heard from a number of investors who are very interested in having that kind of event for the cannabis industry. So I look forward to working with the EDA on that, as we do on so many of the other programs that we work with you on. So thank you so much. It was really a pleasure to be here today and in person to see everyone, and happy holidays.
Thank you.
Bill O'Day, Executive Director of the Elizabeth Development Company, is registered, but I don't see him in person. He's on the line. Okay, so then we can, Lois, we can go over to the any members of the public who registered to speak on the phone.
Thank you, and ladies and gentlemen,
for the members of the public on the phone. If you wish to ask a question, please press 1 then 0 on your telephone keypad. You may withdraw your question at any time by repeating the 1-0 command. And if you're on a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the number. Once again, if you have a question, you may press 1 then 0. And the first question is from Bill O'Day. And please let us know your affiliate.
Good morning. Bill O'Day, Executive Director, Elizabeth Development Company. I speak today to talk in favor of the cannabis grant program that was recently approved today by the board. I think it's essential. I think you've begun to create a model, a national model for what's needed to create social equity and social justice. As someone who is boots on the ground, dealing both in Elizabeth as well as in Jersey City with social equity men and women of color, this is an essential program. We are dealing with the giants of the industry who we see lurking out there looking to gobble up and make it difficult for these individuals to get into business and to stay in business. We're dealing with predatory investors who are looking to come in here to these small businesses and these other businesses with their money and ultimately take them away from them in years from now. This program will create real opportunities to make social equity happen in the state of New Jersey. And at the end of the day, that's what I think the cannabis business will be judged by. I think Tim and Ty and the board and Governor Murphy have really made a real commitment to make this happen, not in words, but putting money where your mouth is. And I look forward to working and getting other local EDCs, Invest Norks, et cetera, who are really the boots on the ground that these business people come to deal with to help them get through the local approval process, even often the state approval process. Individuals who are, as one of the speakers from EDA said earlier, going to their family, friends, and literally taking out loans or taking their lifetime investment because they believe in this dream. This is really going to be a lifeline of assistance, and I believe the beginning of a number of programs that's going to make New Jersey a national model. So I want to compliment the EDA and the board for what I think is a very bold, dynamic first step in ensuring that social equity will occur in the cannabis business. And happy holidays to all. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Other comments from the public online?
Thank you. And that's the next person is William Pena. And please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Yes, my name is William Pena, owner of Jersey Leaf. I am a social equity minority applicant applying for the cannabis micro-retail license. And I just want to thank the EDA and everyone that's putting this program together to give someone like an opportunity like myself to get in the industry and to be able to have a chance to fulfill one of my dreams. This will definitely get me to the finish line with a boost like this. And I really appreciate everyone and thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any other callers?
And there are no other callers in queue.
All right. I'd now like to request a motion to enter executive session to discuss two New Jersey Windport and two real estate items, which are real estate matters involving public funds where disclosure could adversely impact the public interest, the minutes of which will become available when the need for confidentiality no longer exists. A vote will take place after the board returns to public session. Operator?
Thank you. The board will now enter executive session for members of the public. You may hold on the line. Board members and staff will return to this line when the executive session has concluded.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do thank you for your patience. Please continue to hold the line. Your conference will resume shortly. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. Your conference will resume shortly. Please continue to hold. Ladies and gentlemen, we do thank you for your patience. Your conference will resume in a few minutes. Please continue to hold the line. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. Your conference will resume shortly. Please continue to hold the line.
And you are back on with the public.
Thank you. Thank you, operator. No fans coming in. All right. Let's get going here, folks. First item, New Jersey Windport tenant leasing fair market rents. A motion to approve the fair market rents for the three parcels of property at the New Jersey Windport as discussed in executive session. Can I get a second?
Giblin, second.
Thank you, Noreen. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
I did.
You motioned yourself.
Can
the chairman do that?
I can do that in exec. All right, next item, New Jersey Windport request to approve the authority entering into an LOI with a New Jersey Windport tenant. Can I get a motion to approve?
That motion.
Thank you. Thank you, Rosemarie.
Second, Angela.
Rob, any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? Great, thank you. Sale of property in North Brunswick, New Jersey, located near the our NJ Bioscience Center. Approval of all execution of all documents necessary to effectuate the property sale as discussed in executive session. Can I get a motion to approve?
Robert Shimko.
Thank you, Robert. Can I get a second?
Giblin, second.
Thank you, Noreen. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any recusals, abstentions? All right, next item, settlement agreement with New Jersey Bioscience Center tenant to approve the settlement agreement at the Bioscience Center as discussed in executive session. Can I get a motion to approve?
My motion.
Thank you, Rosemarie. Can I get a second?
Dragon, second.
Three seconds.
Elizabeth, any discussion? All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Any recuses? Abstentions? We got every one of these, right? We just did four?
I just got one more motion to adjourn the meeting.
Okay, no, it all happened so fast. Well, there's no additional comments. I'd like to thank everybody for their participation. I'll now make a motion to adjourn the meeting. Can I get a second?
Giblin, second.
Thank you. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All right, everybody, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Enjoy your time.
Happy holidays.
Thank you, and that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using the AT&T conferencing service. You may now disconnect.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
And happy holidays.
It is, huh?
Oh, yeah.